if you ever want to listen to a study that will make you a heretic in the eyes of Orthodox Christianity, you come to the right place. This is a study on the nature of man, and it's going to be a series of studies. If you've been following so far, we've been discussing what is man and what is the soul. This is part of an overall series going after the three I consider the most important teachings in Scripture. Number one, the nature of man. Number two, Christ and God, the relationship between the Father and the Son. It will be debunking the myth of the Trinity, which is an awful doctrine. And we're going to talk about it in that series, the implications of believing in a Trinity. And finally, we're going to get into the issue of correctly cutting the word of truth. I think these are the three areas that the adversary really has, how shall I put it, really messed up the mind of man on these issues. Man doesn't know what he is. Men have been taught so many false things about his nature, the character of his existence, and his destiny in the future, and the issues of death and life. They've been so confused by Christendom and the false theology, or as the Concordant Version puts it, the false expressions. That's what Paul says in his letter to Timothy. And, you know, and again, with the issue of the Trinity and not correctly cutting the word of truth, it has brought a host of evils. Well, we're talking about the nature of mankind. What is the soul? We go to Genesis 2:7 for the foundation of our teaching regarding this. Yahweh Elohim formed the human out of soil from the ground and blew into his nostrils the breath of life, and the human became a living soul. And I'm stressing this over and over again. The soul is the result of the union of the soil and the breath. It's not a new thing. It's the result of the union of those two things. And remember, we talked about last time, the soul has to do with conscious sensations. Now, have you ever heard the term saving souls? I remember when I was among Baptist people, they always talked about saving souls or winning souls. But what does that term mean? I'm going to turn to Matthew 16:25. Matthew 16:25, and again, this is another phrase that has been so misused. The Lord Jesus speaking to his apostle, the Peter and them, "For whosoever may be wanting to save his soul shall be destroying it. Yet whoever should be destroying his soul on my account shall be finding it." That's Matthew 16:25. Now, what does this term mean, saving soul or losing soul? And let me just give you a simple answer. He who prefers, and the context here again, is the kingdom for Israel, an earthly kingdom. And what the Lord is saying is the one that prefers to indulge his physical senses, soul, rather than suffer for Christ will lose his soul when Christ comes. But the one who loses his soul will gain it in that future glorious kingdom. Now, theology, as I mentioned before, has been given us false expressions. They've made this term, to lose your soul, mean eternal conscious torment. And if you've listened to this program long enough, you know how awful and how much disdain I have for that terrible teaching. Losing soul has nothing to do with eternal conscious torment. The Lord told his disciples to lose their souls. Did you hear that? Matthew 16:25 is not a message to sinners. It's not something you tell sinners. We don't go out. The evangel of the grace of God is not telling a sinner to lose his soul. He's talking to kingdom believers in Israel. So what is the salvation of the soul? Now, knowing the truth of what the soul is the key to understanding this phrase. First of all, I want you to notice Paul never uses it. The apostle to the nations never uses the phrase salvation of the soul. As a matter of fact, he rarely uses the term soul at all. There's one place, for instance, in Philippians 2:30, where he talks about somebody risking their soul. You know, I'm going to read it real quickly here. In Philippians 2:30. And I'm reading from the Concordant Version. Receive him then in the Lord with all joy. He's referring to Epaphroditus. And have such an honor, seeing that because of the work of the Lord, he draws near unto death, risking his soul, that he should fill up your want of ministration toward me. In other words, what was he doing? Epaphroditus fell sick, and there was depression that came with that sickness. That's what he meant. He risked his soul. Look at the context there. He became infirm, very nigh unto death. He was a suffering man in sickness for the sake of others. And risking his soul, the word soul, remember, conscious sensation, it had to do with the sickness and the depression that comes with it. So did Paul mean that Epaphroditus was risking his eternal salvation? Absolutely not. And that is why only Hebrews and James and Peter are interested in this term, salvation of the soul. They are concerned, Peter, James, and the book of Hebrews, are concerned with physical earthly blessings. Their earthly kingdom, the one that's going to come to this earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. It's the kingdom promised to the nation of Israel. Thus, they constantly have this reference to the term, the salvation of the soul. I'm going to read you a fantastic comment on this, and we're going to close. This is from the Concordant Commentary. And this is A.E. Knox's comments regarding this phrase, the salvation of the soul. Soul never means life. Life depends on spirit. Soul is the conscious sensation resulting from the union of the body with the spirit. He who wants to save his soul will seek his own pleasure and comfort and shrink from self-denial and cross-bearing. In the kingdom, there will be every delight the soul can crave, referring to the kingdom coming in the future. Hence, the disciple that does not suffer for his sake and so loses his place in the kingdom saves his soul for the time, but loses it in the kingdom. Anyone who should gain the whole world, yet not be able to enjoy it, loses his soul. And again, this term salvation of the soul has nothing to do with our message for today, because our message is not about an earthly kingdom. It's about a celestial allotment. Well, there's a lot more to come on this subject. What is the soul and the nature of mankind? We're taking it slowly, little bit, piece by piece. Now, go to studyshelf.com because I put together a series of booklets on this topic for your study. It's called Basic Scripture Study. Go to studyshelf.com. It's on the right side of the webpage. It's a couple booklets that are going to help you out as we go through these topics. I guarantee these will be of good use to you. Well, this is Dan Sheridan. Pleasure being with you once again. Enjoy your weekend. I love you. Please do not doubt that I love every one of you because of Christ and all that He's done for us. Have a great weekend.